Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Father, we worship you. We thank you that the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, it dwells in us. And he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also likewise quicken our mortal bodies. We worship you. We're quickened, Lord. There's a quickening going on inside from the spirit to the outward man. The residue of it is able to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. Father, we believe that if someone could, if it was necessary, and if it happened so that they just took the roof off this house to lower the sick into this place, that one by one they would be healed. The same power dwells in us, in Jesus' name. The days ahead will reveal this. Full capacity attendances, Lord, to where that no one will hardly be able to get in the door. We exalt you, Jesus, for the power that's resident in us, present tense, and is on a collision course of escaping in ways that we have never, ever ventured to think. We give you all the glory. Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are here and those that will be watching tonight through the YouTube channel. We ask you in Jesus' name to bless our time together. We thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Greet one another for a little bit and enjoy the time of fellowship. Hallelujah. Let me just make a few announcements. I just really want to encourage you guys to be here. Michael Kelly and his family are coming, and that's going to be on the 21st. It'll be an AM service and a PM service. We are going to have a good time. We're just really going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. And Harry's up here acting like he's sad because he won't be here, but he's not going to be so sad. I can tell you, he's not going to be so sad. Nice try. Nice try. and congratulations to Harry Plamondon. He will, at the end of this month, on the 26th, is that correct? He will be happily married man. Glory be to God. To Sarah Glimba, then becomes Sarah Plamondon. So, hallelujah. Glory. So we're excited for them, and there will be a mass exodus of us. Homer is going to have a good crowd here. Amen. We speak that. And he just won't have all of us. Praise God. But it's going to be good. And when I was at Jim's, there was I said something about Candy and I being over in Phoenix at the end of the month, and I got home that night. I'd preached that evening service, I think, and I got home, checked the church email, and somebody from Phoenix area was already like, man, if you guys are doing a service over there, we'd love to come over and be a part of it, because they're right there, you know. And then I was like a day later, and I had to text him back or email him back and say, you know, at this point there's not been any talk about a service. And then another lady come up during Jim's meetings and said, you're going to be out in Phoenix? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, I've got some family that's close. They would like to come over. If you guys would do a service, that'd be, or if you guys are going to, I said, well, not at the time. You know, I don't know of any service. But I said, if one develops, I'll let you know. So, hallelujah. But we're going to have a good time out there. Praise God. Just kind of scope of the month, just looking at things. Mother's Day is on the 14th, so can you believe this is May? I mean, this is almost halfway through. I mean, we're almost halfway through. It's crazy. Glory be to God. Jesus is coming back. Don't worry about anything, because it's going to be over pretty soon anyway, right? Hallelujah. So let me make sure that I'm catching everything. Candy brought in, God bless you, the box of, or the bag of baby bottles, and that's for the Immokalee Pregnancy Center. You guys know we don't do many drives like this around here, and we're just being really nice, and we want to help them any way we possibly can. So if you could take one of those or two or three of those baby bottles and, you know, fill them up with change or $100 bills, I don't know, they would certainly appreciate it. And we went to the Immokalee Pregnancy Banquet. They actually had me come up. They had scheduled me to do one of the prayers, and they had a keynote speaker from out of state, and this guy travels all over the world and speaks, and it was a very eloquent banquet, and that was back in February, wasn't it? Somewhere around then. But anyway, they gave the report of how many actual children that they've actually, and lives that they've touched in last year, 2016, I can't remember it now, but they're really doing a wonderful job. They've saved a lot of babies from being aborted in the Immokalee area just by, you know, counseling these young ladies, please don't do this, and they've saved a lot of lives. So that's a good thing to be a part of. Okay, so grab one of those bottles, fill it up, and it it's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Michael and Michael Kelly have announced that. Praise the Lord. Now that's about it. Hallelujah. So, amen. Well, let's get into the Word then. Hallelujah. Oh, I know. There was another one. Economics 101 is up. Hallelujah. And I want to thank Candy, and I want to thank Harry. These guys work so hard. They really, really do. There is just no way for you to understand, what goes into logistically to doing. You know, I've watched Candy for years. You can't. There's no need for me to explain it. But you have to take that file, and you have to convert that file, and then that file has to be edited and blah 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 blah, and then it has to be loaded up on a website, and then you have to have a webmaster come in and take that file and put it. It's a big process. Every single one of those things is just like, it's not something you just do in 5 minutes. And Harry's job, I don't even want to think about that. So I just appreciate both of them. Candy sometimes feels like the MP3s are a dated kind of thing now, but really there's a lot of people that still, you know, the MP3s, people work out, and while they're working out, they're listening, or you're driving in your car, you're listening. So the videos are not always, you know, that's kind of, everybody's kind of visual now, but the MP3s are very, very, very appreciated. Amen. Praise God. So we appreciate. The Economics 101 is up, and we had people coming up. I had a couple of different people come up and say, when are these going to be posted? Amarachi, you guys know, and she was like, and I said something about it. Somebody said, Gary said, because Gary's asked me two or three times, and Gary said, he's been saying that for a year. It's going to come. But praise God, Gary, we got him up. Hallelujah. So they're up, and 1, 3, and 4 are on video. 2 got kidnapped. We don't know what happened or whatever. The video. Now we have the audio on all 4. We have the MP3 on all 4. So there's an announcement on Facebook that says to switch over and listen. Maybe it's an actual link to the MP3. So it's all done. I mean, it's good to go. All you can just follow right along and switch over. So praise the Lord. Anybody that's been asking, and if you were here during those real simple services, just, you know, listen to them again. Amen. And get rich. Amen. And provide a whole lot of money for where we're headed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. So let's just pray. Father, we worship you. We love you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the teaching that went on while we were gone, the quality of it. We thank you, Lord, for men and women who pray and love you. And we thank you, Father, for the grace of God in this house tonight. We ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, as Pastor Dave used to just repeat, Thy word is truth. Lead and guide us into all truth. Thy word is truth. Give us, Lord, the wisdom that man cannot give us. Lord, we thank You, we praise You, and we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Now, I'm going to, and I just felt like it was what God wanted me to do, repeat one of the messages that that I taught up in Dayton, preparing for the harvest observations. Now, if you were in Dayton, or if you've listened to the Dayton conference, if you don't want to listen to this again, I would say switch over and watch the Economics 101, because they're just now posted. You got four of them there. But every service is different, and so there probably be some things said that might be useful, or I'm sure will be useful to all of us. But if you've heard it the first time, even useful the second time. Hallelujah. So we are continuing to prepare for the harvest, and so that is becoming more and more, the relevance of the kingdom and the awareness of having an awareness of the reality of the kingdom. Like, this is going to be something that is happening, and it's supposed to be happening right now, right now. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're not putting this off in the future. So we're preparing for the harvest observations. I'm just going to go down through, and this is one of those that you may just want to take notes as far as the scriptures, because I'm going to go down through. I've got these scriptures already in front of me. So we'll give you just a moment if you want to turn to them. I love for you to look at them. It's real easy on your smart devices, because it's like bam, bam, bam. You can follow along. Now you can start looking at them, okay? Now you we're just going to go through a number of different points, and we're going to be just doing what I said, what the title is, just making some observations concerning preparing for the harvest. Number one, revival is for the harvest. Now, these are things that we need to consider, and we'll give scriptural base for it. Revival is for the harvest, not the harvest for revival. You got that? Let's think for a moment. Okay, the revival is for the harvest. The greatest thing that God wants on the planet is a great harvest of souls. Okay, that's what He wants. That's everything that Jesus left. The power was for the harvest. Everything is for the harvest. He wants to get people, and He loves people. He wants to get them healed. He wants to get them healed so they're good harvesters. But He just wants to get people healed because He loves them. It just, the cross was enough. But then the next step is to be harvesters. The revival, you've heard me say this before, and it bears repeating. I think it's good. The first church, the Jerusalem church, was not in a place where they got together on a Sunday night. I used to say Friday nights, but now I'll say Sunday night. They didn't get together and say, Jerusalem is in revival. Jerusalem is in revival. I say the blind see, the lame walk. Now, why are we doing that now if it wasn't historically done then? The reason why we're having to do it now is because we're having to dig out from underneath centuries of religion. And centuries of doubt, and centuries of just not seeing this replicated. You know, that's another thing too. Not only did the disciples have the Word of God, you know, or not only did they have it like as in they were filled and walking in the power, but they had just seen it replicated. They'd seen it, Jesus do it, time and time and time again. How many believe if you see it time and time again, that's going to do something to your senses? It really is. And so that continued for a number of centuries, maybe into the fourth century, and then that replication began to wane. Once nobody's doing it, then it begins to be an object of discussion of like, really, can this be done? There's no discussion, can it be done when it is being done? I mean, that's right in front of you. But the revival that we're believing God for is just really digging back down into the kingdom realities and receiving that. But all of everything that we describe affectionately, oftentimes, like the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, you know, like we're having those visions of incredibly excited services, and then we're saying that goes out into the streets. All of those wonderful things are, the end result is the harvest, okay? God's not wanting us to have a revival just for revival purposes. It's supposed to be a revival for the harvest. Does that make sense? Okay, that's simple, but you need to have that inside of you because you need to understand as a destiny people where we're going and what we're about. You know, Daniel was a man, the Bible says that he understood the seasons. He understood what time that he lived in. And it's so important that we as a body run together. We're running together. And we've got to have a mindset, a spiritual mindset of what is this about and where are we going? Hallelujah. So I pray that's continually being placed in you. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:37 says this, "This saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into the harvest." It is about the harvest. Amen. Number two, the harvest is now. The number two thing is the harvest is now. In other words, it's not out there. Jesus said this in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." He wants us to expect. I'm not going to incriminate you. I'm going to incriminate me. Because I've had 20-something years now, 20 years of confession and looking towards a revival, it is easy for my mind to put the revival and the harvest out there somewhere. And if we don't watch ourselves, it'll always be somewhere in the reaching. You've heard me say it. I believe we're really already in the beginning stages of that revival. And I believe Jesus said back then, the harvest is right now. It starts now. It's already into effect. I've come, everything that you need to glean this harvest is now. So the harvest is present tense. So we need to walk around with, if the harvest is now, then everything that was provided for the harvest, for us to harvest it, it's given. Don't be thinking like, okay, at some point when revival comes, we're gonna receive all of, you know, I'm just going to be different in the revival. And I'm going to have the wherewithals to harvest. We have to harvest now. It's now. Hallelujah. Number three, this gospel will be preached. I like that. This is something we've been saying for a year now. Homer come up with this one, or the Holy Spirit came up with this one. He called me one day. I thought it was brilliant in the Spirit. It's just a proof positive of the where we stand on why do we believe that there will be a revival in the last days. Matthew 24:14 says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The important part of that is this, this gospel. Now, which gospel? The one that Jesus preached. The one that Jesus lived. He healed the sick, cast out devils, healed all that ever. See, I'm a sellout. You are too, because you're sitting here listening to me. We're sellouts. It's impossible in the natural for us to believe what we're believing, that they all get healed all the time, every time. Those are impossible things in the natural. We're selling out to believe all of that, that that happens all the time, to everyone that comes and stands in healing lines, because they did in His. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, in His lines, now, okay, help me, Jesus. I can make a divergent here. I can go off here, and I don't want to go too, because there's a whole other teaching. And it's truth just like everything else, it's truth in itself. There's places of accountability when it comes to Christians and different things that we've talked about before. But I'm telling you, everybody, every single person that stood in Jesus' prayer lines got healed. And he did not ever, you find it one time in Scripture, did he ever, now he said afterwards, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. But he never said, are you ready to get rid of this before I pray for you? Every single one of them, they got healed first. They got healed first. Then he might say to some, go and sin no more. But all that ever came before him, he healed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This gospel will be preached. And I love this because this also is a cousin scripture to the Revelation 12:11 scripture that we use Sunday, and we'll probably go back there this Sunday as well. And they overcame him, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. When it says, and they overcame, it didn't say they were overcoming or in the process of. When John saw this church, he saw it as last day church, and he says they overcame him. They got past him. They got past the wicked one, the devil. Meaning past tense, he saw a church, Matthew 24:14, this gospel will be preached. Again, you've heard me say it. Somebody makes it. Somebody wins. Somebody has the restoration of the kingdom of God. It comes into full effect. And that might as well be us, and it might as well be now. Praise God. So we can walk around. Here's where our sense of destiny can be. It can be like this. This has already been prophesied. This has already happened as far as God is concerned. He saw it. He saw it in Revelation. Jesus prophesied and said it will happen in Matthew 24. This is going to happen. So if it's going to happen, the devil can't stop it. Amen? Hallelujah. Some generation succeeds. Some generation overcomes the power of the wicked one. I just quoted this, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. And of course, past tense. The other script, the next thing, number five, is we are in a, I will say it like this, we are in a haste mode. We're in a haste mode. Exodus 12:11 says this. Now this is talking about the Passover meal. And there's a lot to be said there, and we are not going to go into that whole thing, but that's all about the blood and the body of Christ and the blood of the Lamb being placed on the doorpost and them consuming the Lamb during the night. But here's what is important to us to make this point. Now, let me make this point. It says this in 12:11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is, and it goes on to talk about the Passover of the Lord. This is where we're at in a certain sense. There, this word, haste, when they went out of Egypt that night, and everything was speaking of, this is salvation, this is the blood, doorpost, and then we're consuming the Lamb. They were supposed to eat that meal in an anxiousness of their present tense liberty that was at hand. Now, if you're hearing what the Lord is saying around here, he's saying to us in a real fatherly fashion, let's go. It's time. The Bible says they ate their meal in haste. This was a gobble up. It wasn't like a leisurely. They did it symbolically to say, we're about to enter with their staff in there. The guys that had staffs had to hold their staff, eat their food. I mean, it was a sloppy kind of, I don't know. They did it in a haste because there was a sense of anxiousness, and a good kind of anxiousness, like, let's go get this done. We got to escape out of here, and we've got to go someplace. And God is saying to us prophetically as a church and as a movement, like, I love you. It's wonderful where you've been, but we got to go. We got to get this done. Hallelujah. Can I get some amens? Hallelujah. If you amen me, we'll go faster and we'll get done and we'll get out of here, okay? We'll, hallelujah. If you go to sleep on me, I'll just sleep with you and I'll just, well, you know, we need that vent needs to be cleaned. No, I'm just kidding, okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it. Come on, say it. Come on. Amen. Say it. What is the power for? Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons in which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What is the power for? What is it for? It's for witnessing. Did I just read that to you? Is that okay? Let's go. Let's go. Y'all, okay, this might, you might say, wait, Pastor, you're out there now. Tongues was not given to us just for tongues. It wasn't given to us just so we could sit and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. The power came, the tongues was part of the power, and the power is for us to get out there and do what we're called to do. Hallelujah. So we're realizing some things. And the Bible's, and the other word here, you shall be witnesses. That word witnesses is the word martyr. It's the word martyr. It's 3144 in the Strong's. And you know what martyr is. Hallelujah. So I don't know. I don't know. There may be some future martyrs in there. But, I mean, as we look at America, it might be really hard for that kind of progression where they're actually killing Christians in the streets in our lifetime. I'm not saying it could not happen, but I'm telling you, whether you're a physical martyr or a living martyr, he's asking us to give up our lives. I know that. I know that. 8, we have both forms of power in two words. We have exousia, which is, and I'm not going to go into the extent of all this, which is the authority that he's given us. And the best way to just kind of coin that is it's the right. The power, exousia means. And anytime you look up any of these words and the power is defined as exousia, it means he gave you the right. The word didymus in power means he gave you the raw, seething power of the Holy Ghost. You've got to have both. You've got to have the right to do it, and then you've got to have, once you say, like we're going to say tomorrow, Brenda, in Jesus' name. We've got the right to be in here. We've received authority from him. The scripture is Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Exousia is 1849 in the Strong's. It means the privilege. It's the right or the privilege. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. We just read that before. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and in Samaria and to uttermost parts of the earth. Didymus means, it's 1411, it means miraculous power, 1411 in the Strong's. It's raw, seething power. Do you know that you have you're not only living inside of every single one of you out there that's born again, spirit-filled, you not only have the right to do or the privilege to do, but you have inside of you that seething, it wants to get out. It really wants to get out. And too often, when I'm going to speak for myself, too often, we are faced with present tense, let's pray right now, and something will, maybe this is just me. I'm going to just say it's me. Something is presented and we need to pray, or we need to pray for something right now, or we need to put our hands on somebody right now, and it's serious. And I think it's the devil I believe this is the devil. This is warfare. But I also believe it could be some legalism that can creep in if you don't watch it, and a misunderstanding of what is presently tense in us, that at about the moment that you start, a Rolodex or some kind of program will start saying, did you get your full time in prayer in yesterday? That doesn't matter. It's not of works. It's His power inside of you. Are you caught up? Did you get it all in last week? Did you drop that? Drop it like a hot potato. Because it ain't you that's getting them healed anyway. It's Him in you. And He wants to get out there on them. And you just go into airplane mode. Just shut that thing off. And just go ahead and lay your hands on him or her and believe God right now. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Even with all power, number nine, even with all power, here's an observation, just an observation. We always need the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we got all this power, and we've got the right to do it. John 4:1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Well, why did he need to go through Samaria? Because the Father was saying, that's where I want you to go. Okay? We did that whole thing at the beginning of preparing for the harvest. Listen, Jesus went from city to city by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He's walking in all the authority and all the power. He's baptized in the Spirit. But on the day that he went into Samaria, there were people dying in Jerusalem. And there were different cities that he went into. Now, grant you, anybody that ever came to him and said, I need healing, he healed them. But at the same time, he's walking through cities that he's walking through there, and he's led by the Father. And it's so important for us every day that we live that we can possibly to have a consciousness, okay, I've got authority, I've got power, but where am I supposed to be using this at? I'm not just broadcasting this. I'm going as you want me to go, as a businessman or businesswoman, as a mother at the grocery store, as a person talking to my neighbor. How, God, where am I supposed to be at, and what am I supposed to be doing? And number 10, a reliance on the gifts. Now, we saw this in the teaching of Jesus at the well, didn't we? John 4:16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, this is what we've said before, and this is important. As you go in this last day harvest, depend heavily on the gifts, okay? If you feel like God wants you to be witness to that person at the Winn-Dixie, we use Winn-Dixie because that's one of our big stores here. I pray to God we get some bigger commerce come in here in days ahead. But wherever you're at, Naples, Fort Myers, on a vacation, wherever, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led. And then the next part of what we're saying right now is he depended on the gifts. Do you know God does not want us to be, or you to be, a Corinthian in gifts? When we've taught on it before, we'll teach on it again, but when he talks about the I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, I hope that you know, and if you don't know, that's fine. Maybe you haven't heard the teaching. The way that God distributed those gifts was because the Corinthians were puffed up. And the only reason why God had to individually, now this is really making it simple and summarizing quickly, the reason why that was given individuals like that is because God could not trust, because of the lack of maturity and the schisms in the body, he could not trust those to walk in all of it. We're supposed to be like Jesus. The Corinthian church is not the pattern, okay? That's all those gifts are for the church. That teaching is true. All the gifts are, but they're supposed to really be innate, meaning resident inside of us, so that anything that anybody needed at any given time, Jesus worked here with a word of knowledge, okay? His deity didn't tell him the woman has, because he worked just like us. He had discerned in the spirit and say, you know what? He might have got it like this. Say to her, you know, inside of him, the Holy Spirit spoke. Say to her, go call your husband. I mean, he might, I don't know. He may not have known where that was leading. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Oh, then the word of knowledge, boom, the word of knowledge kicks in. And then he begins to prophesy to her. And we know by what we've said before, he wasn't nailing her high to the wall. He was lovingly saying, God knows where you're at. So when you're out there in the workforce, depend on prophecy, word of knowledge, not just the gifts of healing and miracles, but depend on the residency of God to work through you and flow through you. Amen? Powerful observation. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Now, reliance on the gifts and the harvest, that's differing, as I said, from the Corinthian church. It's a residency in us. A prone position of power with leadership, not loose cannons. Now, let me read this, and you can just mark it down. Because of where we're going, we have a prone. You know what that? It's a leaning position. Hitherto, up to now, I don't know. Well, maybe not, because we've been teaching revival for years. But it's hard not to have a backwards kind of position. Well, Pastor, I'm just kind of scared when I thinking about going over there and praying for that person in a wheelchair, because I don't want to give the Lord a bad reputation. I love what Gary Carpenter said. He said, "It ain't the Lord that you're concerned about, sweetheart." And it's not. We just don't really know if he's going to have our back. That sounds real spiritual. I don't want to give God a bad rep. The bottom line is, we don't want to look like an idiot if it doesn't happen. We're coming into a place where we're more, listen, if he says it, go and do it. If you make a mistake, forget about it. Okay, here's the deal. I heard Gary say this also too. Go ahead and resolve that you are going to make mistakes. Just go ahead and resolve that, but you're going to get past that. Let's just say we're going to make mistakes in this. It's not going to be picture perfect, picturesque, but it's going to happen. Hallelujah. But even with the prone position, like we're leaning into this, we don't have a backward kind of, we've got a forward motion towards getting people healed. We shouldn't be loose cannons, okay? Loose cannons. Listen to this, okay? The healing at the pool of Bethesda. John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, now this is the part I want you to get, wilt thou be made whole? Okay? What did Jesus say? In our vernacular, do you want to get healed? Do you want to get, well, he may have been thinking like, okay, yeah, but he says this. He says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked on the same day. It was the Sabbath. Listen, even though we're teaching all this, and we're saying, we're using our closest example of being out in public, you know, the Winn-Dixie, the Publix over at Avi, the mall, out in town in Fort Myers, Naples, whatever, there's always a necessity for leadership. And there's also, now here's the difference. Anybody that ever, in all those crusades, out on the in the wilderness, whatever, if they came to Jesus, then that's already an acclamation of saying, I want to be healed. So they all got healed. But if you're approaching people, we're not throwing you out there. We're saying to you, leadership, and do what Jesus said. Do you want to be? Do you want to be? Otherwise, you know, I gave this example. Okay, so let's say you're at the mall, okay, or you're at some, and you look over and there's this young guy, and he's kind of thin, and he's in a wheelchair, and you're thinking, man, look at that guy in his 20s, 30s, he's in a wheelchair. He's like, my God, we've been being taught. Let's do it now. So you run over, in the name of Jesus, get up out of that wheelchair. And the guy comes up, and you go, oh, God, hallelujah. Walk, sir, walk. Can you walk? And he's like, yeah, I can walk. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. His eyes are about this big, and you're like, oh, God, sir, what was wrong with you? And he's like, well, actually, nothing. I'm a marathon runner, and I was waiting for my wife in this store. I saw this vacant wheelchair here, and I just decided to sit down for a few minutes before you grabbed me up out of it. Oops. We're not loose cannons, okay? In other words, as we move, and we've got this prone position to go forward, we're not just running all over with our heads cut off. Amen? We listen, we hear, we obey. Hallelujah. Is that good? Yeah. Amen. Oh, well, here's some other examples. In Matthew 20, Jesus heals two blind men, and they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the way, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And a multitude rebuked them, because that they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And verse 32 says, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, now I like, this is amazing. What will ye that I shall do unto you? You know, my first, because if my first pretense would probably be, if you brought somebody up here that was in that, you know, obviously, they want prayer for their eyes. They want to be healed from blindness. Jesus understood that people's will was involved. And he said, what will you that I should do for you? And they said, well, we want to be healed. They had Gary told him after he heard me teach this, he said, you know what, literally, he said, the first time, only one time in my life, he said, I was in a certain place, and he told me where it was. I know where it was. And he says, I was teaching, and I had, after the service, I had a prayer line. And he said, they wheeled this one guy up in a wheelchair, and the guy's sitting there, and he goes, I just, you know, went down there like you would, and I started praying for him to get out of that wheelchair, you know, and God to heal him. And I don't know just all that went into that, but the guy stopped him. The guy stopped him. He said, no, please, this is my ministry. I'm like this for the glory of God. I don't want to get out of this wheelchair. Well, what do you do then? You just back off. Or you pray for what he was there for. And obviously the man was far misunderstanding. There's no glory in that. The only glory in sickness is the healing, standing, getting up. Hallelujah. But isn't it an amazing observation that Jesus would ask these people, what do you want? Now, if they're in a healing line, he just goes down through and they get, you know, they get what they want. But Paul and Barnabas at Lystra, Acts 14:8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped up and walked. Now, here's the other thing too. If you can ever, if you're ever able to get the word over in preface to praying for people, it's an advantage. But my point here is this. Paul, even when he began his teaching service and this guy is sitting there, he didn't just run down there and take advantage of it at the moment. He followed the leadership of the Spirit. He waited for the right moment. And then when it was, the Bible says Paul perceived that he received faith to be healed. Hallelujah. It goes back to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the other thing too is, I can say at this point is, even you may not be standing in a pulpit, but if you're going to get ready to pray for somebody, if you can share with them, either read or quote as best as you possibly can, some healing scriptures, that in itself begins to build faith. The power is in the Word, folks. And here's the best advice. Stay out of it as much as you possibly can. When somebody wants you to pray, you can talk past the anointing. Give them enough and then shut up. Just be quiet. And don't pray a flowery prayer. If you'll notice, all of Jesus' prayers were concise and they were to the point and they had power. Don't try to talk. If you want to share with them, and I've gone to hospitals and I've gone to places and different times, and even prayer lines, where people will be trying to explain to me the problem, and at some point that's enough, and that's from them, and I'm just like, okay, and you have to do it real nice, okay, because I mean it's ready to go right now. He's ready to go right now. But from your perspective, which we were just talking about, hush when you've said enough, because otherwise you'll out-talk the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. Just say enough that you know he's ready. When you get the cue, do it now. Do it now. Okay? Hallelujah. And as I said, everyone in his prayer lines got healed. That's Matthew 4:24. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And Jesus went forth, Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sick. Matthew 15:30, and a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Hallelujah. Are you guys looking forward with me, looking forward to the days with me when the maimed are made whole? Glory be to God. I'm kind of like I'm waiting and I'm just believing. That is cellular. Listen, when there in those prayer lines, you know, they had leprosy. Leprosy could maybe rot your nose off, your ear off. One of the appendages, you know, if you got something cut, it didn't heal. There's no surgeons to stitch stuff up. It just rotted off. The maimed to be, you know how that works? You know how, it's just amazing. It's kind of like that time-lapse photography, watching a rose grow. It's cellular reproduction. It's just like, now listen, I don't mean to be mean, okay? I know that people have said they've seen visions in heaven where there's body parts. There are no body parts in heaven. First of all, there's nothing actual physical in heaven. Jesus is in his glorified body. Your family members are walking spirits that will get their bodies at the coming of Christ. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are spirits. There is no physical DNA. So the people have said that they've seen these body parts. What they would have to say is there's physical body parts that somehow evaporate, disappear there, and then somehow God puts them back on during a healing line. It's cellular reproduction. It's already there. It's like the, what are they, what kind of those starfish? If they can grow a leg, you know, another, it's already there. Everything, I mean, as long as you've got any little piece of a human, it can make another human when the Holy Spirit lays his hand on it. I can't wait for the maimed to be made whole. Hallelujah. And just watch it like, come here, gay, watch this. Or gay's probably going to be the one doing it. Or come here. Come here, Carl, watch, look. And it's just, you know, it's just hallelujah. We're like, woo, hallelujah. And the Bible says they marveled. Now, that marvel means they were astounded. How can you not, at least on the beginning of the, how can you not watch that and not marvel? I mean, really, if it really is happening, you're marveling. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Y'all still with me? We'll be out of here by 9. Y'all working with me real good now. Keep working with me because y'all need to, I know y'all want to get home and get that snack. Hallelujah. Glory. Prayer lines for the sick Christians. We said this Sunday in church is a waning practice. In other words, it's a diminishing practice among us. But I want to say this. If you need prayer, please come. We're not saying that we won't pray for you as Christians anymore. Thank God that Miss Mavis come up. As soon as I preached that Sunday, she came up right after service. And she had us pray for an infection she had in her jaw or in her cheek for 8 months, something like that. And she didn't know what it was. She got it taken care of this week. And it's a good report. Amen. No bad report there. So we got a chance to couple our prayers with hers and her family. But praise God. Anytime you need prayer, come. But what I'm saying is the emphasis is not that we're all trying to get each other healed. We are the healed. And we want to bring in the sick in here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that's why James says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, the reason why I've used that scripture is to say this. Pastor Dave used to say, sickness in the church was such a rarity in the first century that Paul wrote for this cause. In other words, a lot of you are wondering why that some are sick. Okay. So that's a good point. So it should be a rarity among us, should it not? Amen. We will always need a communion with our Father in prayer. Mark 6:46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer, Luke 9:28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And the reason why this is an observation is this, is that it's important that we do have a communion and a prayer life with God. In all of everything that we're going to do, if you go through all this and it's just mechanics, like it's just like if you're listening to me or to Jim or to Homer or to Gary or anybody that comes to speak at this pulpit, if you're just learning the mechanics, if you don't have communion with the Father, it still doesn't work so much. It's hard because the Holy Ghost in worship and in communion, he's the solvent. He's the grease that gets down there in the gears that makes all this work. Otherwise, it's just legalism. It's just like 1, 2, 3. It's important to have. How many of you know, I say this oftentimes because I'm generating soliciting response. How many of you know that Jesus had a prayer closet? He did. In other words, he had a prayer life. He didn't have a prayer closet per se, but he would be accustomed to leaving and praying. Okay. He would pray. Jesus, everybody say this, Jesus prayed. I should pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, but I say that to set you up for something. Let me say this. The next point is this. Even though Jesus would go up into the mountain, Jesus came down from the mountain. He came down. He came, and I'll just read this. He came out of his prayer closet. The prayer closet is not, okay, all of us, everybody that's at the prayer center of Immokalee, get a hold of yourself. So we teach a lot on prayer. The prayer closet is not the end result. It's not. Too many have thought that the prayer closet was the end result. The edification process of tongues and worship does not end in the prayer closet. It is meant to get out into the world. See, I know a lot more people as far as in this circle than most of you. And I know case after case after case that have gone to like the prayer center in Tulsa or different places. And we've had a few come here. And they kind of just move. And listen, I'll explain this. Some have quit their jobs and they've just wanted to go into prayer. The Holy Spirit could do that for a season. Okay, especially if you're kind of retired or, you know, or you're going through something like you got to get, you know, for whatever. You got a season in your life, which is a parenthesis. But listen, the end result of all of this is not the prayer closet. Now, I'm not listen, do y'all know why we teach around prayer around here? And we want y'all to pray tomorrow, next day. But Jesus came down from the prayer closet. He came down. Well, I'm not getting any amens. In other words, there comes a time where you got to come out of that.
Oh, Pastor, yes. He's been giving me stuff, downloads and downloads and downloads and intimacy. I praise God, and that's good because he wants to get to know you and you to get to know him. But where are you going with it? Oh, no, I'm just soaking it up and I'm just getting more. No. You got to come out of there. Come off that mountain. Stop praying.
Now, that sounds like a contradiction. Keep praying. But it's got to go out there. The prayer closet's not he come off the mountain. Do y'all understand this? All of everything that we're getting, we got to get it there, but we got to go forward with what is. It's like Gary said, and I heard him even before, but it's like tongues. We said this before. Tongues was not given for tongue's sake alone. Amen? It's for what? It's for power. And it's for this harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he wants us to stay in there to where we learn sonship and intimacy and all. But I'll just give you my own personal example. We're getting close. We're doing good. I still, by his grace, have a certain amount of time, and it's a pretty lengthy amount of time. But from the time that I've come here, and I went through a long season of a certain scripted amount of time that I should be in prayer. And then I went through a long season of worship just for years. There was some long hours in worship and praying in tongues. And I find now, over the last year and a half, the Lord has re-scripted. It's not because I've walked back into the flesh. I actually had to have him re-script the time that I'm spending. It's still, and I always will to the day I die, because that's where you, especially as a minister, of the gospel, that's where I know that there's no way, because he's given me other assignments that I'm supposed to be doing. There's no way possible, humanly possible, if I went back to where I started in 2000, when did I start? 1997. And did that time on a daily basis. Now, there's no way possible for me to be getting done what he wants me to be getting done in other areas. Do you understand that? So what I'm saying is there's seasons, There's parentheses where he may have you in a season. And if he still, now, if he wants me to spend all day or whatever, I'll do that. Or if there's a fasting time. But listen, it's not all about the mountain. He's asking us to stay on the mountain as much as we need and then come down into the plain and perform the miracles. Hallelujah. And do what he says. Hallelujah. Jesus came down from the mountain. You got that one. Our fame will open doors in the days ahead. Jesus went about all of Galilee, Matthew 4, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria and brought unto him all sick people that were taken in divers diseases, torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And they were amazed, inasmuch as they questioned among themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions around about Galilee. Now, I've said a few times, which bears repeating, that the medical industry doesn't necessarily, any of you that can get back into the ICUs, you believe you can make a difference, but I'm sorry, the nurses and the doctors look at you as like, you know, you're there to comfort. His reputation, he had a reputation. See, we want to develop a reputation that our fame begins to open doors for us. The fame, we're not talking about an egotistical fame. We're talking about that the nurses and the medical community say, look, when that man was here or that woman was here last week, I don't know what happened, or doctor, listen, the last few times that they've come in here, everybody that they've, whatever they do, I don't know what they're doing to those people, but when they go in there, within 24 hours, they're discharged. That's what fame is about. Listen, John G. Lake, we'll kind of close with this. John G. Lake, he was a man that was able to repeat or duplicate. That's the best word, duplicate himself, okay? Smith, I love him, fantastic. He didn't do so much as far as duplicating himself. John G. Lake duplicated himself. In other words, when he came back from Africa, he went to Spokane, and he trained 16 hard-nosed, they called them technicians, divine healing technicians. And the way you got your certificate with him is that the last part of your training was you had to take home a terminally ill person. And you had to get them healed. If you did not get them healed, you did not get your certificate, and you were not a divine healing technician. Now, he only trained 16. He only trained 16. But in 5 years, 16 people had a documentation of over 100,000 healings. They documented it. And the Surgeon General said, this is the healthiest, Spokane is the healthiest city in the United States. He got a lot of criticism, and they said, this is all just circumstance. This is all blah, blah, blah. They had this one thing where, I remember Gary talking about this, where I can't remember the term. It's kind of like a New Age thing where if you're at certain parts on the earth, that generates a healing aura, you know, for you. They have a name for that. It's like grid lines in the earth or whatever. And so he said, okay. He moved to Oregon, and he duplicated himself. He trained 16 people again, and in 5 more years, they had the same over 100,000 miraculous healing results. Amen. This can be duplicated. We can do this. We have to believe that the kingdom is now, and the kingdom is relevant for everybody's life. And we have to believe that he wants to heal people more than you want to see them healed. Hallelujah. We can do this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this? Amen. I did. Appreciate you guys. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you that we go out of this house full of your grace, full of your glory. We ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth. Thy word is truth. We pray that in the name of Jesus that you will continue to, Lord, just instill inside of all of us the relevance of your power in these last days. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I pray this word will be kept in our hearts, not stolen by any means, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory.